Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Marilee Veit. Hello, Marilee.
Hello.
So Marilee is a firefighter with the Jefferson City Fire Department, and we thought this was a great opportunity just to chat. So Marilee, so how did you get into the business of firefighting?
It's not a super exciting story. So I was a nanny previously, and I was looking to get a different job. And my grandparents were like, we saw a firefighter reading a book outside a fire station. You should go be a firefighter. And I happened to work with, he's now an assistant chief, but at the time he was a captain. I worked out with him and I talked to him about it. And he was like, yeah, you definitely should.
What interested you about firefighting?
Just that it was different. Every day, you know, you never know what you're going to get into, what you're going to see. A lot of problem solving and hands-on sort of stuff.
So growing up, that wasn't in on your landscape there of, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a firefighter or whatever.
Well, I think when I was really little, I told my grandmother I was going to be a firefighter, but I said a firefighter, chef, pilot, so.
Ooh.
The other two didn't work out. I can't cook very well still.
All right. Well, being a female and a firefighter, seems like that's kind of a non-traditional path there. So were there any challenges you faced?
So I'm the fourth one on the fire department. Mm-hmm. For right now, there's actually one before any of us four got hired. So I'm the fifth one that they ever hired, but the fourth one out of the ones that are still currently on the fire department. So I think they already kind of had, you know, an idea of accommodations and things like that. But of course, it's always in the back of your mind that, well, if I can't do something or if I mess up, even if it's not your fault, even if whatever you're doing, you know, is broken or something like that, you're still thinking like, oh, are they all going to think it's because I'm a woman? Like, are they all going to think that? And so far, I haven't really had any issues with most of the guys being like, oh, you can't do that, or, you know, stopping me from doing stuff. But you still think about it.
Sure. Well, I think it's interesting, too. I mean, it's not as if you had to endure the same training, the same circumstances, I assume, right?
Yeah. I've had that question asked for me before. So we do a PAT every year. It's what you do before you get hired. It's part of the testing process. And then we do it every year and you have to pass it.
So now what's a PAT?
Physical agility test.
Okay.
So we carry high-rise packs and pull hoses and drag dummies and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's all with an air pack on. And I've had people ask me, they're like, well, do you get a different dummy? Like, do you get a smaller high-rise pack? And I was like, nope. Because, you know, if you have to pull someone out of a building, you can't go in there and say, you have a smaller person that I can pull out. Like, you still have to do all the same things. So it's everyone gets tested at the exact same level because we all use the exact same equipment and have the exact same expectations. So
I think that's the thing that's fascinating is just the rigors of the equipment and the gear that you wear. So how much does the gear weigh?
The air packs themselves are about 30 pounds. I believe all of your bunker gear, your helmet and everything like that's usually about another 30. Our high-rise packs, I think, are 65. So, I mean, it just depends on what you're carrying. But sure. You can definitely be carrying over 100 pounds of just equipment.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, there are four women who serve on the fire department here in Jeff City. Out of 75, thereabouts?
Yeah, 75.
So I know this because we just recently had a story because we had a bit of history here in town. So Marilee, tell us a little bit about what happened on that day.
So we got our first all-female engine crew, engine one. The way that happened was our shift's the only one that has two women on it. The other two women are on opposite shifts. So we knew that we were going to have to constant staff someone, meaning we needed someone from a different shift to come in and work on our shift because we have a minimum staffing we have to maintain. And we found out it was going to be Abigail, and she was going to drive the ladder. We're kind of sitting there at the kitchen table, and my normal captain on engine one, he goes, well, you know, I could step over to the ladder and let her come to the engine, and then you guys could have an all-female engine. So we're like, okay, well, we talked to our assistant chief, and he was like, I don't see any problem with that. And the driver of the ladder, he was going to get a step up. And we said, well, you'd have to give up your step up and drive the ladder. And he was like, I'm totally fine with that. He's like, because it'll be cool to experience this. And Lisa, who was the stepped up captain, she was getting ready to move to four. So that was her last go around at one. So this was really kind of the perfect storm to have something like this happen. And it probably a little bit more difficult now that me and Lisa aren't at the same station.
Right. So did you get to go out on calls, or was it a slow day at the station?
We went on a couple of calls. I know we went on a fire alarm. and we went on a couple medical calls.
So it's been a few days since that happened. So what kind of feelings did that bring? What kind of conversation has that brought about?
A lot of people just congratulated us. I was actually really surprised by how many people. Like, people were like texting me and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew it was going to be like a cool thing to do and be a part of, but
yeah.
I didn't realize so many people would be so like excited about it.
Yeah. One thing I really enjoyed about the story we did about that day was hearing you firefighters talk about the impact it has when you show up at community events as a female firefighter. Kind of share some of the stories, whether it's at a emergency call or even just at community events.
Yeah. So the first time I remember something like that, we were going into a fire alarm and I was pretty new. I mean, it's probably my first year here, and I was walking in and this little girl is like standing outside and she just goes, oh, that's a girl firefighter, and just like tells her brother, you know, and she was so excited, and I was like, I had never really thought that that would be that exciting, but I guess as a little girl, you know, it is. And you know, that happens quite often. A lot of times we go to public events and, you know, the little girls want to take pictures with me, you know, and their parents will be like, are you going to be a firefighter? And most of the time they say yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, they get excited about that. And I get grown women too on calls. They're always like, you're a female firefighter? That's so awesome. You're awesome. Like, they get really excited and they want to know how many of us there are and all of that. And
yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Because I guess I forget, obviously, because I'm always just a female firefighter, you know.
Right.
And most of the time, it's just normal, the same as everybody else. But I think that is good to realize that, you know, people are watching and they do notice and makes them excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you're right. It's so great when someone, especially younger, can see themselves in your position mm-hmm. there. And you really give them that opportunity. So what are things you like about being a firefighter? If you were to sit down and talk to that little girl that encountered you, what would you encourage her to think about and to do?
Well, just, I guess, never be afraid to try new things. Never be afraid to think that you can't do something because you're a girl. I'm personally kind of a competitive person.
Yeah.
So if we're ever going to do anything, I'm always like, oh, I have to try to, like, you know, do the best, which I think is a pretty common firefighter characteristic, tend mm-hmm. to be a lot of competitive personalities and willing to try a lot of things, which you need for the job. And, you know, math is important. You would never think that, but to do all our pumping calculations and all of that, and you get hazmat, which is science. And so there are a lot of different avenues you could take to be a firefighter. You know, when you become a firefighter, it doesn't have to be one specific thing. Like, if you really like math or you really like science or you really like to build things with your hands, like, all of that can happen as a firefighter.
Yeah.
So it's more like diverse of a job than I think you'd probably realize.
Sure. And it sounds like you're constantly training and pushing yourself there. So it does sound exciting. So when you decided, let's go back to when you were considering the position, mm-hmm. what kind of training did you have to go through? What's the path to become a firefighter?
Not everyone takes the same path. I actually uh-huh. have a degree in psychology. I have a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And that's a pretty common story. We have a lot of people who have different degrees that some of them have absolutely nothing to do with firefighting. But for me, I did not already have my 1 and 2. So it's fire 1 and 2. You have to have that to be a structural firefighter okay. in the state of Missouri. So you have to be state certified. So I did not previously have that. And we hire some people who don't have it. We hire some people who already do have it. They like to hire a diverse group of people.
Sure.
So since I didn't have it, I went to what's called rookie school. We right now send people up to Columbia to their rookie school. And you get your fire 1 and 2 and your hazmat awareness and ops, which are all required. And mine was a 15-week program. And then you come down here after you graduate that and you do a year working on what we call our rookie book. So it's just this binder that has all these tasks you have to complete in it. Different trucks, different equipment, different procedures, you know, all sorts of different things that we do. And you have to get it signed off and you get assigned a mentor.
Okay.
That kind of is there to guide you and help you through that book. Then once you do all that, then you can get your badge and your metal name tag. And then you go from probationary firefighter to firefighter.
Okay. So let's say someone wants to become a firefighter. Is the Jefferson City Fire Department hiring?
We are hiring. Yeah. We actually just opened our application, I believe, just the other day.
Okay.
So you go onto the city website and you can apply that way.
You've mentioned that not every day is the same, mm-hmm. right? One of the attractions of the job. So what are some of the varieties of things as a firefighter that you would respond to? You know, it's not just pulling out the fire hose and battling a fire, I would assume.
Right. About 60% of our calls are medical related calls. Mm-hmm. So we go to, you know, possible heart attacks, any sort of CPR in progress, possible strokes, you know, of course, car accidents. We go to gasometer calls, CO calls, of course, any fire alarm. And sometimes just people call and they're like, well, we don't really know who's job that is to fix that. Maybe we'll send the fire department.
Yeah.
You know, and so we get there and kind of see what's going on and figure out maybe who is more appropriate to call from there, unless we can fix it. I mean, yesterday we went to a CO2 tank. So a lot of restaurants and bars will have CO2 tanks because that's for their soda fountains.
Sure.
And someone was there to repair it and they were bleeding it off. But no one, I guess, knew that someone was there to repair it. So we got called and, you know, you could just see all this just white gas just coming out, which it was fine. We talked to the guy and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing that on purpose. And we were like, oh, okay. Awesome. But just, I mean, you get called for all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So I would assume there are some that are, you're just battling with the adrenaline, whether it's a raging fire or mm-hmm. what's the other side of the spectrum there? That, you know, you've got the CO, you got to be calm and investigate where it's coming from. But what's the reverse side of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say structure fires are probably the biggest adrenaline rushes to go to. Car accidents can be, depending on what information you're getting, if it sounds like it's going to be an issue. Any sort of like structural collapse or something like that. I've only been on one of those, so, you know, they're not as frequent. If you would have what we call a high angle rescue, where we have to get ropes to rappel down and get people, you know, by the river bluffs. Sometimes we've had a few calls there where people will get down on the other side of there and then they can't get back up.
Sure, sure. Ooh, I don't think I could be a firefighter. A little too afraid of heights there. Well, in our show notes, we're going to have a story linking to the history we were referencing earlier. And we just wanted to thank you, first of all, Marilee, for your service and to acknowledge the fire department for the great progress it's made implementing more women in the fire service. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.